Welcome to the Valley Outdoors, and we are glad to have you guys with us. It's going to be a fun show. Lots to talk about. Don, you're in the office here, hanging out with me, and he's playing around right now. He's trying to plug himself in. I don't know if he's not plugged in or what. Ava, you're here.
I'm here.
We're talking to each other. Is Don, are you around now?
I'm back.
He's here. We got a lot of fun and a new theme song. Don't know if you guys checked that out. Lots to be talking about today. Hang tight. More Valley Outdoors coming right up. Ashkenam Resort on Ash River in northern Minnesota is a destination you're looking for. Ashkenam offers everything for the angler or family vacation with access to Lake Cabotogama, Namekin Lake, and the gateway to Voyageurs National Park. Thousands of acres of clean, refreshing water all available to you. This is your destination for your next fishing trip or family vacation. Check us out on thevalleyoutdoors.com. Do I need to say walleyes, northern pike, and crappies?
For the angler that has everything, or just thinks everything, grace your palm with the feel of a custom fishing rod made to your specs from Patriot Custom Rods. It will soon become a cherished tool in your hand, providing the sensitivity and feel you have long dreamed of. Patriot Custom Rods are specially designed to your species of fishing, rod weight, colors, grip type, and length. Treat yourself or someone else to a Patriot Custom Rod. Find us on thevalleyoutdoors.com.
Welcome, Don. Ava, good to see you guys.
Yes, it's good to be back.
And it's always funny when you start thinking about fishing, you think about warm, enjoyable, sitting out in the boat, and then it comes to the want to get out early and go fishing, and it's not anywhere near that.
Well, we just talked about it last week, about some of the trials and tribulations of just loading and unloading your boat on a ramp where there's potential for freezing, you know, and the ramp getting slippery.
And literally loading and unloading your boat onto the ramp, not the water,
right?
Which is a problem.
Yeah, no, I'm more worried about the truck getting unloaded.
Or getting it back up the ramp.
Right.
That too, especially in freezing conditions. I know they're out at the National Walleye Tour is out in Detroit right now. And I'd be out there, but I don't have my new boat yet, but I will have a new boat, which is good. New Vexus is a coming. It's a gleam in somebody's eye, and I've got a date, and it's going to be built, which is awesome. But yet they're out there and been pre-fishing this whole week. And you want to talk about difficult conditions, cold, water temperature at 35 degrees, air temperature not getting above 38 degrees, and wind. And they had a couple gale force warnings that blew up river, and they said it was literally flooding ramps. It's that bad when the Detroit River gets backed up from Erie blowing in.
I mean, I've never been on the Detroit River. How wide is that compared to like the Mississippi or?
Oh, it's about probably up in the main part in Red Wing area. It's probably half again as wide in certain areas.
Okay.
Mainly about that distance. So it's got some, it's decent width, varied obviously depths with islands and different cuts. And of course the biggest issue is, or I shouldn't say issue, but it's divided Canadian water. You can only fish the U.S. water. So that makes it that lovely invisible
really?
Line.
So you got to stay on the left.
Going stay up to the left. Stay to the left.
Thank goodness. So, I doubt if there's buoys going up and down the.
No, and you can't tell the fish which side to stay on either,
no.
Which makes it difficult. I know when back a number of years ago when we fished it, it was open on both sides. And there's some really good spots on the Canadian side. The salt loading area, there's a big area there. The mine, you're dealing with the metal, some of the area that they're pouring steel right there. It's unbelievable. And not far up into Detroit, same thing. But yeah, the Canadian water out really changes things. But when the weather gets bad, and this is what happens, Don. So you've got St. Clair that feeds this. St. Clair is very shallow.
Right.
And so Erie, if it blows up river. If Erie blows, you get a wind blowing from the south. South, generally south.
Okay.
And it'll blow right up in. You can get 4 or 5 footers in the river.
Oh, wow.
But what it does is it stops the river, backs everything up. Well, if it churns up at St. Clair, because it's so shallow, when the river flows, then all that chocolate milk water goes right down, and it's like flushes in, and then you have zero visibility. So you can have literally overnight clear water one day, and then I have a complete chocolate milk mess the next. And that's why that, you know, jig fishing works, but then you've got to go to hand lining, which is that it helps, you can catch fish that way, which is where it started. Hand lining started. We have a large pound and a half weight cable and a shank that you connect two different monofilament lines to, and then you put a floating rapala at different lengths back. Usually it's 10 feet back and then 20 or 15, 30, and you just troll up river at a diagonal.
So for the layman out there, that's a human downrigger.
Basically as close as you can get to a human downrigger. Yeah, and you're lifting a pound and a half weight over and over and over. I won a lot of money doing that.
And what kind of depth are we talking?
It's a very depth. It's 15 to 12 to 10 to 18 to 22.
So it's not 25, 30 feet?
It can be in the shipping channel itself.
Okay.
But generally, we fish out here in 20 feet of 25 feet of water, so it's not a big deal with the hand line because you get so much
it's
weight.
It's a lot to drag on your arm, though.
And you're lifting and dropping.
And you're lifting, yep.
Yeah. It is okay. Spring loaded, though, which is not a bad thing. But nonetheless, conditions are going to make it very difficult, and I don't have the results personally right now, but you can check them out online. It'll be definitely there. But a struggle, and one of those times when normally I'd be envious of the guys being out there, but, you know, in a week that they had, no thank you.
Yeah.
No, not a good thing. Yeah, there you have it. A recent report coming out of Michigan, aerial survey shows the Michigan elk herd is growing, Don. They conducted the survey in January, and they said the elk population has increased 5% since 2019. Pretty nice little growth. Yeah.
Any idea how big the herd is to begin with?
Total of 793 elk in 92 groups were observed in the population that was estimated to account for animals and that some of them obviously weren't observed during the survey. They estimate the elk herd is remaining very healthy, said Chad Stewart of the DNR. And the management plan with Michigan, that was last updated in 2012. In 2022, an update to Michigan's elk management progress and accomplishments over the past decade was developed and is continuing to develop over the next 10 years. So pretty neat deal, good success story. Michigan's native elk died out in the 1800s, and they began reintroducing them in 1918, and they actually were able to be released in near Wolverine, Michigan, thus the Michigan Wolverines.
I'm guessing that's...
Yeah, you like that?
Yeah.
Kind of a nice link there. I had to work that in for the guys in Michigan, so... Kind of a cool deal, Don.
Yes.
Don't you think? Yeah. Well, tell you what. We have a very near and dear close friend of mine, Mr. Jim Vick, coming from Lutzen. He'll be joining us, giving us all the cool information about what's going on up there and some things that we may not know. Stay tuned. Be right back.